all spread your wings, close your eyes, let your love flow, come inside, spread your wings, and close your eyes, let your love flow.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Greetings, Earthlings. Starfleet Commander Visible is in the saucer pod, doing the dog poet thing, whatever that is. And we're in the saddle again due to a series of train rides to the Bodensee Lake town and the usual things that attend such a journey in the company of a good friend. But I'll try to be on target as soon as I can figure out what I'm aiming at. We've had quite a week passing with Israel once again indiscriminately killing anyone and everyone who does or does not get in their way and or does anything that Israel doesn't like. It's busy. Hey, busy country with all of its bankers employed at destroying the Western financial system, all of its politicians looking to start wars to be fought by American cannon fodder, that has been impoverished to the point that it has no opportunities for the future except to die in the present for the poisoned dreams of psychopathic bankers who will eventually turn their murderous eyes upon them in any case, just as soon as they've outlived their usefulness, if they manage to achieve even that. So we're in the saucer pod, hovering above Montecito, California, at the Kardashian wedding, where bad taste and incredible stupidity got joined in unholy matrimony. The expected offspring are expected to be flaming greed and shameless self-promotion without a lick of talent in sight. Just as soon as these children make their appearance, hell is going to break through the earth's crust and swallow the world whole because there is no hope of redemption left should we collectively allow those who worship this sort of thing to prevail. I heard at one point that the Kimster had the most friends of anyone on Facebook. I just went over there and there are no friends listed anymore, but over 6 million likes, whatever that is. You owe it to yourself to go to the Kimster's page, Kim Kardashian, and check out the various announcements she's made recently. Tasteless, tacky, doesn't even begin to sum it up. Then you can see the state of so much of the world in all of its septic clarity. You can see why Armageddon is a consummation devoutly to be wished and why the apocalypse needs to get off its butt and get to work. I don't want to devote too much space to this total waste of space, but I felt it needed mentioning because you rarely see something this crass and clueless even in a time when it is rampant in a general way across the press boards of this faux formica culture. Fukushima is in meltdown. The Gulf of Mexico has its poisonous leak back as an encore to the disaster that never happened, according to the soulless liars who construct and report all of the news that the bankers authorized to go into print. They've done to newspaper what they did to currency paper and continue to do to virtual paper, none of which is worth the paper it's printed on, but which exists as a form of invisible shackles around the torso of humanity. We know who the bad guys are. If you're spotting the good guys, that is the problem. That's the problem, is spotting them, that is, because everyone who serves and defends the bad guys is a bad guy to some extent. Everyone making a deal with the devil in order to guarantee their own advancement and survival is an employee of the same at some level or another. I'm not going to say that you should expect huge changes, and those fairly soon, because I've already said that. I don't know the precise timeline, just a general sense of what can be intuited from what is already present. I can see the state of the culture and the wide percentage differential between those who prefer lies over those who prefer the truth, those who actually think Obama is trying to be of service to the country, as opposed to Bush the second or third, whatever it is, behaving like a bloodthirsty psychopath, and those who think the established churches represent the true doctrine of the living God, and those who know that they are nothing more than mind control operations and business consortiums designed to fleece an increasingly dumbed-down populace, and those who live for the sole purpose of consumption as opposed to those who sense that life has a deeper meaning. I could go on and on. I do go on and on, but I'd rather rest upon what you've already heard and try to be interesting as well as cover some new ground. As I mentioned, I was in a popular European lake yesterday and today. I was with my friend Roy, who is of Indian extraction. That is to say, he's not Native American, but from India. His father was a soldier, and he told me an interesting tale, which I hope to write about tomorrow or the following day. Tomorrow's my birthday, so, well, that'll be today when you hear this, but... So I might as well, or I might, or who knows, take the day off and do much of nothing besides attending a public bath, of which there are many here, and which I enjoy as much as anything I do in life these days. For me, sitting in a sauna and going in and out of mineral baths is about as good as it gets, besides conversing with the Almighty. Which any of us could do if we put enough attention into getting that attention. But I digress. Roy's father was a soldier, and he told Roy that Gandhi was nothing like he was made out to be these days, but that he actually wanted the British to stay in India and work to that end, and did many things to achieve that, and that it was Chandra Ghosh who ran them out of the country, actually, except that they didn't actually go anywhere, except undercover. Now, I don't know how true this is, but Roy has put considerable research into it, and Roy is someone I trust. I'll know more about the details once I study them, but my point is that this is pretty distressing news to me for a couple of reasons. One of them is that I didn't have a clue about this. And what else am I completely in the dark about as a result? Meanwhile, Gandhi is an icon. This brings me to the consideration of so many icons of our time and those venerated by the historical records of the past. Most of us know that Alex Jones is an employee of the Rothschilds, but how many others have made their deals with the devil and operate below the radar, spreading partial truths or outright disinformation that's difficult to prove? Some of them may even be well-meaning, like those who purport to interpret Mayan symbology, or make predictions about comets and mysterious planets, along with a host of doomsday predictions. I have to look at myself more closely, too. Self-inquiry needs to be a relentless affair, and it's never pleasant or pretty. I'm not saying that Gandhi was a fraud, because I don't know. What I'm doing is sharing with you something I heard from a usually reliable source, and that if it is true, then we probably need to throw out everything we believe until we have subjected it to scrutiny and whatever else may be required to establish the reality of the person, place, or thing. It hits back at what I continue to reaffirm, which is, I don't know. I honestly don't know, and I just don't know. I continue to discover more and more that I don't know as I go as well. I don't know what to think, didn't know what to think when Roy told me about Gandhi. Then he went on to tell me the real reason for the partition and the manifestation of Pakistan and what was really going on in Kashmir and what the British and the Christian fundies have been up to in India since they theoretically left. It appears more and more to me that the British aristocracy are among the most heinous predators on the planet. London is the center of the world banks and world banking, and the American Revolution never even happened. All of these things make the prospect for lasting world change seem grim, but the world does change. However, it generally changes very slowly. That may be subject to change now, too. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, but something is going to happen. I not only believe in the existence of the divine, I'm convinced of it and have contact with the divine. What I'm told is coming mirrors very much what I see needs to happen, given the exploding hog lagoon we've turned this planet into. Roy's a very astute guy and one of those people I can spend good amounts of time around because we both revere the divine. We both watch what's going on around us, which makes people watching a real event. We spent a lot of time doing that this weekend and sharing our observations about the directions and motivation of the endless stream of people promenading down the promenade by the lakeside where we sat at a table by the water. We looked at body types and the uniforms of self-expression they had chosen. We watched them with their children and pets and those without either but accompanied by one another. Some years ago, I developed a particular ability, or maybe it descended on me as an aspect of the Kundalini uprisings that I keep going through. It involves looking at a person and then engaging in a certain kind of focusing, which allows for penetrating into the nature of what's under observation. Roy says it's a city. I wouldn't know. I have a number of peculiarities that have come into my possession over time, and there's no point in going further into that because it may well come across as self-serving, and I don't want to do that. But there's no doubt my life has not been an ordinary affair, and it shows no signs of any propensity for normal integration. I'm okay with that, but sometimes others are not, and there's not much I can do about that except to just keep on keeping on. In any case, I was engaged in this focusing to some degree when I just stopped. It wasn't stopped by anything internal or cosmic, and I didn't get the sensation I was doing anything wrong. It just seemed unimportant for me to know more than what I could see on the surface. I wasn't going to discover anything that was going to change anything, so why bother? As usual, I'm leading up to something, which is the only reason I brought up the issue in the first place. Years ago, I was sitting on a bench in Palm Springs, California, and I was thinking to myself how I wish I had an occult bookstore so that I could read about the subject in detail and possibly find out the meaning of some of the things that were happening to me. A few months later, I was in Woodstock, New York, and someone gave me one, more or less. These kind of things happen often, not people giving me things, but just serendipitous, inexplicable events. And I spent several years there where all I did was read about the occult and spiritual teachings, and that led to the study of the tarot with a mystery school over the course of a couple of decades. And I suppose I learned a lot of things, but the more I learned, the less interest I had in the subjects because it wasn't what I was looking for. And the same thing happened with the tarot. I don't think about it much, but I refer to some of the trumps on occasion in the process of discussing something on one of the blogs, and I put some study into a number of areas, like Hindu and Buddhist teachings, as well as Sufi Islam and other things. They were all interesting at the time I was engaged in considering them, but none of them were what I was seeking, even if some of them were an integral part of me. Occasionally, I'll mention that religion is like the lined paper you learn to write on when you're in elementary school. The time comes when you no longer need the line paper, and that's the point most people don't get past. Well, it's hard to say, it's hard to say. Darkness of the unknown. Well, whether it's outside of you or inside of yourself, it can be a scary proposition for most people. I always found it intensely exciting, especially if I was on psychedelics, because then I had access to other dimensions and realms of being, and I could explore the real world instead of the world of concepts and dry doctrines. Maybe I shouldn't refer to it as the real world, since there are levels and levels of this, and it doesn't do to assume that you have encountered the totality of anything, because there's always something beyond that and beyond that and beyond that. I'm not making any recommendations concerning the use of psychotropic substances. They are for the few, and for some people they can cause considerable harm. For most, they may or may not result in a life-transforming experience. I know there are those who think that the mere mention of such things by me is tantamount to pandering and seduction. My suggestion to these folks is to go pour themselves another cocktail since they've found their inspirational water. I never recommend certain things to people because most of the time I don't even know the people, and besides all that, what I do is my own affair and no one's business but my own, and that includes all the governments that make laws about things that they themselves are the biggest traffickers of, or bankrupt religions that lay out a cut-and-dried roadmap that serves the forces who corrupted their scriptures way back when. What people should understand, and this is only my opinion, is that the real holy books are written in the secret recesses of the human heart, and that the force of awakening love will bring those glowing words into their vibrationary flame alphabet right up into a resonant presence within the one who has been graced with it or seems to have managed to bring it about. I'm talking about the real flame alphabet that is written in the fabric of everything, which is the vibrating matrix of their being. I've seen this, so I know it is there. I would point out here also that the Hebrew alphabet is based on the Chaldean flame alphabet, which is where they appropriated it from when they appropriated a great many other things that did not belong to them, and that's based upon something else, and that everything physical is based on something that is not physical, but which interpenetrates it. We can spend our lives reading books and practicing rituals in the hope that they will lead to something remarkable. Maybe they will, and maybe they won't, but it's my opinion that one must seek direct contact and relentlessly maintain it once it has occurred. What we seek or think we seek is a living presence within us already and is comprehensively aware of us more than we will ever be. If one can attain to a certitude of this, one can court the presence into activating an awareness of it. The totality of everything we can imagine and more is contained within us. It's right there. People have found it and will continue to. If they're not finding it, they're not trying hard enough, long enough, intensely enough, or with enough consistency. There's no problem with the cosmos. Whatever problem there is with us. I suppose what I'm trying to say is that there are more direct routes, much more profoundly simple routes, and so on and so forth. That which we seek attends us in every moment of our lives. It is right there all the time, and we are ready. When we are ready, it will reveal itself, herself, himself, whatever your preference is. One can't expect to encounter the One until the One has become the whole focus of their being. We are guided. We have occasional experiences. We may have any number of things happen to us that defy any concept of reality we have previously known. And I speak from experience in this regard. But the full-blown ascent and descent of the one who relies on our complete commitment to the one, to the exclusion of all else in terms of importance. Well, these are just words unless they are more than words, and that remains to be seen. There are always exceptions to everything, and one should never second-guess the divine by assuming one has some understanding of the divine. One does not. One can only understand what one is permitted to understand, and that should always be kept in mind. The divine is beyond human comprehension and utterly indefinable and unpredictable. I made a little error, and it seems to me, in a sentence I spoke a moment ago. Something didn't sound right, but hopefully you'll be able to figure out what I intended. Well, we've come to the end of another broadcast, and I'll see you next week if there is one. In the interim, may you find that consistency of purpose and fixity of mind in order to achieve that great state of union with the eternal and ever-abiding essence of all things. That said, Hare Krishna, Aloha, and Haru!
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.